Well, good morning. It's good to be here. My message is going to be finding faith in difficult times. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for appreciating us, and and it was a joy to help out when we can. Also, it's as I got up this morning and as I went outside, it's just one of those mornings that you gives, for me, it gives me energy because it's nice and cool, and there's, it's not very warm, so that's what gets me going. My message today is going to, there's not very much scripture reading, but it's comes off of a, I'm trying to think of what I call it, and a situation that I experienced this beginning of the week. We are at the funeral, and we get home, and the nurse Michelle was there, and while we're gone, she asks Michelle, she says, "When am I going to be able to walk again?" And that has hit me really hard all week. And also, another thing that happened was there was something that happened on Monday that had me spinning around. And I was talking to a brother, and he actually called me Tuesday morning. And as I was talking to him and he was asking questions, I thought I had to think of the unforgiveness and the resentment that I could hold. And that's a few of the points that I have, and the unforgiveness and the resentment that I can hold towards a certain individual, or because of the way I see it and the way I feel like it looks like he is portraying towards me. And I told that brother that I have to think of that I just, it's more of a personal thing, and that I have to be able to forgive and let go and let God, and let God do his work. And that brother said, it seems that God puts people in our lives to prod us and see what we need to work on. So this today is, I'm talking to myself, and whatever you get out of it, you can take with you. A small little story that I found, that it's about a little girl, and I had to think of the faith that she had that this could actually happen. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, "When I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah." The teacher asked, "What if Jonah went to hell?" The little girl replied, "Then you ask him." So, the faith that she had that Jonah is in heaven, and the faith that God can actually do things, stood out to me. We all face adverse events and situations in life. You might be going through a season of hardships in your life at this time. It could be finances, sick, loss of loved ones, relationship with children or family. But whatever the challenge is, you can have the determination to see things through as you find strength in God. You can move from feeling like a victim of our circumstances to find purpose through your faith. I have found Paul's words in Romans 8:35 and 37 to be very encouraging in times of adversity. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Just know that no matter how bad the situation you are facing is, you can experience God's love, and nothing can separate you from it. Because you have the love of God and his word that all things are possible with him, consider too that you do not have to limp through this difficult time, but you can have the attitude of a victor. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that we are more than conquerors. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ won the victory already on our behalf, and all I need to do is accept it by faith. Even though I think life is hard, God is still good even when I can't see it. And when we go through a hard time, I know for myself, there's two things that we can have. We can either have a depressed attitude because I feel like nothing is going my way, or I'm not adequate enough to be a child of God. Or we can look to God for strength and work through and have a positive attitude, even though we feel like we are in a state where everything seems wrong. I've got seven things that I have found that have really helped me. The first one is to examine your heart. Proverbs 4:23, and this is most of the verses are in the NIV, says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." When we are experiencing difficulties, the first place to start with the issue is with me, myself. My attitude in challenging times could determine the outcome. While I might not be able to change the circumstances, I can certainly cooperate with God to change me. The place it starts in this journey of self-examination and growth in my heart. Proverbs 4:23 implies that everything starts with my heart, and I need to pay careful attention to what is in it. My life will go in the direction my heart is set. A lot of times for me, when something goes wrong, I have to look at myself and say, where is my heart? Is my heart about the worldly things, or is it in tune with God? Like in the Sunday school this morning where David was in with Saul, and his men around him were telling him to kill Saul and get rid of him. I felt like David's heart was very in tune with God, that he knew that this was not the time to take care of Saul, and it was not David's place to take care of Saul. A few questions I need to ask is, am I carrying offense and resentment in my heart? Is my heart truly set on things of God more than the world? After a time of close examination, it makes me confess where I am, if I'm off track. And also specifically ask God to guide me in those areas to gain victory where I come up short, or where I feel like I have not attained and Satan is trying to tempt me and get into my life. If I want to move forward with a heart that is open to change and responsive to God's word and the Holy Spirit, another question I have to ask myself is my heart set to God for God's purpose to come to pass in my life? Number two is meditate on God's word. And I have to say, it takes me quite a bit to be able to sit down and read God's word. And many times I have to think of myself, is it because I make myself too busy? I used to enjoy reading. Anymore, I would rather go do other things other than read. And probably most of that is because when I read, I'm so tired I fall asleep. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. At the time of this verse, Moses had died, and his assistant Joshua was facing the enormous task of assuming leadership to take the children of Israel into the Promised Land. Joshua knew it was a difficult undertaking from Moses' experiences with the Israelite, but Joshua was not alone. He had God's assurance that he would be with him and would direct his path. Importantly, God gave Joshua strict instructions and simply outlined the way Joshua was to lead. As I look at this, and Joshua is a young, I didn't really research how old he was, but he was a young leader. And with the reputation that the Israelites had, it would be very difficult to know the way they have, the way they have gone, and the way things that they do, and the way that they have backslid, and during the time of Moses, and then Joshua comes along, and he's to lead these people. And I have to look at it as when you, your reputation always goes with you, so, or it can be passed down to your children. So if their parents, if these parents passed everything down to their children, it would also come out in their children, and then Joshua would also have to deal with it then. So it would make it really hard to be a leader to people that have already that backslid and come back, and but it is possible for them to come back, and it would, for Joshua, it was a really difficult time for him. And it seems like Joshua didn't really have, well, he had some people that walked beside him, but he was the main guy, and he was put in place to lead these people into, and this was over the time that they were fixing to go into Canaan, the land that they missed out for, I think it was 40 years. So Joshua was supposed to lead, and it was a really hard time on him. Consistently meditate on God's word and know his word. Keep my heart on them. Carefully obey the instructions of the word of God, and not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. In our own situations, God is giving us the same instructions. Take time to meditate, open his word, especially his promises regarding our circumstances. Find God's promises that speak to our situation and repeat his promises back to ourselves as we go through our everyday life. That is something that I have found encouraging over the last year and a half of dealing with Ansley and dealing with things of trying to figure out why it is us that got, that we had to go through this. Why, I mean, he could have broke her leg and in 3 months she would be back to up and going. Instead, it is going on a year and a half, and she's still not walking, but it's something that I have to hang on to is God's promises that everything is for good. This is not mere parroting scriptures, but allowing God's word to change me. We can only repeat the full benefits of his word as we apply them to our life, and there will be a change in our focus, and we will become more sensitive to what God's word is saying about the circumstances we are facing. Jesus promised, "If you remain in me, my word remain in you. Ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be given to you." John 15:7. That verse right there has made me struggle a lot, because it says, "Ask what you will." Well, I feel like I've asked a lot. I feel like I've asked for multiple times a day, and it still doesn't, nothing happens. I mean, I take that back. Not, I can't say nothing happens. Small things happen. Why can't I not ask God for it, and it just all of a sudden happens? So meditate on God's word and allow Jesus' word to become a reality in my life. Am I satisfied with the time that you or I spend in reading and meditating on God's word? Am I satisfied with how much time I spend or how little time I spend reading God's word, meditating on it? For myself, no. Because it, I don't know, it just seems hard to be able to get, which the last couple weeks I have had to set a time and just get up at that time. Even though I'm leaving for work at 8 o'clock, I set a time at a certain time and I get up every morning, and it seems to work a little easier than what it has before. Number 3 is pray with prayer. Therefore I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Mark 11:24. Prayer is first of all Prayer, first of all, is communication with God, where you fellowship and build relationship with Him. In the course of this relationship, God encourages us to ask for things we need. Andrew Murray, 19th century pastor, defines prayer as a way of drawing God's blessing on us and the people around us. In the face of adversity, spend time in prayer. Ask God to supply specific needs as He promises in His Word. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." There are principles for effective prayer. The late Kenneth Hagin outlines the following steps to praying with results. Ask the Father in Jesus' name, John 16:23. Pray in faith, Mark 11:24. Believe what you ask your Father for, based on the promises in His Word you have received. Forgive others, Mark 11:25. Unforgiveness can hinder your faith and block you from receiving what God has for you. Pray in the Spirit, Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. He is the helper, so depend on Him to enable you as you pray effectively. Here is something that stood out to me, for a writer has said, when you ask God in faith to meet specific needs in your situation, there is no need to keep asking for the same thing, but to move to thanking God that He heard and answered our prayer. And as I looked at that and as I saw that, it was a challenge for me. How many times am I in one place and just pray and pray and pray for the very same thing when God wants me to thank Him for it? And maybe God doesn't work this way, but He wants me to thank Him for it, and then He gives to us what we ask for. Number four is renew your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will, Romans 12:2. Psychologists tell us that our thinking influences how we feel and behave. Our mindset could cause our life to be out of line with God's perfect will for our life. As we face challenging circumstances, we could become too focused on the difficulties we're going through, and these frustrating sets of events could begin shaping our thinking. The result could be thought patterns that are not congruent with God's Word. Then as the cycle continues, we get negative feelings like sadness, low self-worth, resentment, anger, unforgiveness, and it can keep on going, bitterness, and could result in poor decisions and actions. So instead of allowing the world to cast you into its mold, make an effort to focus on what God's Word says about you and I and our situation. As we continue to keep our focus on God's Word, more and more you will get God's perspective on the situation and not our own. And we will find that things are not hopeless, for God is in the situation changing us and ultimately our circumstances. With our new perspective, we can see God using what was meant for evil to be a blessing in our life and lives of others. Take, for instance, Genesis 37-50. Joseph was sold and sent to Egypt as a slave, and he was in a bad situation, but he didn't let that affect his relationship with God. I'm sure he was human just like us and asked God why. With his example, we can be still and know God is at work. Norman Rosenthal, an MD, in his book, The Gift of Adversity, advises, "It is sometimes wise to remain silent in the face of injustice." Going back to Joseph, and when he got sent to Egypt, I have to see him, which I don't see myself as being a Joseph, because Joseph, in the Bible, it doesn't say that Joseph got discouraged or depressed or actually questioned God for getting sold into Egypt. But he took the situation that he had and made better of it. And he became, first he was sent to prison and he got out, and he was, when he was in prison, he was over the prisoners in there, and then he got out and he became master to right below, I think it was Pharaoh. He got And he then he um, Then he got accused of being with his wife, Pharaoh's wife, and then he went sent back in prison. And then he comes back out again, and he actually saved a lot of people in Egypt and those around them because he started saving up on their food and their harvest. So I have to look at myself and say, Joseph was a perfect man. But I have to think about it. He was probably human, so he did probably ask why, but he worked through it. Number five is build up your faith in God. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes, Mark 9:23. In this chapter, in Mark 9, the father was asking for Jesus to heal his dumb and deaf son. The issue is not whether Jesus could heal him. It was whether the father could believe that Jesus could heal him. What about the situation I'm facing? I may have prayed and made specific requests to heal somebody that is ill or has had an accident and recovering, and I feel it's not being answered. They're not recovering fast enough, or I don't see any change, or they just become sicker, and we don't understand and feel that God is not willing to answer our prayer and bring the relief I think I need. Can you or I believe that God wants to intervene? Then make the decision to believe that God's promise is true, for everything is possible for one who believes. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Express the confidence of faith by boldly declaring specific promises to our situation, even though I might not see any outward change yet. How many times do we just ask for something and it's a broad range? I have to wonder if God looks down and says, how do I answer his prayer? And only answers my prayer in small ways, and I overlook the small things and expect a big answer to my prayer. What steps will I take to continue to stand in faith until I see answers to my prayer? Number six is offer praise and thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God wants us to thank and praise him, not just in good times, but also when things get difficult. After all, we never change. He never changes, and his blessings are available in every situation we face. When you praise him, we recognize his goodness in all seasons. Andrew Womack outlines four benefits that we praise and give thanks in adverse circumstances. Praise is beneficial because encourage yourself. Remove from the difficulty of the situation to see God's love, power, and faithfulness. You or I no longer see a hopeless situation, but that the power of God is able to change us and the situation. As we praise, we can be like David, who in hard times encouraged himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And you see, he is the God Almighty of blessings who nourishes, sacrifices, and sustains. David is another one that I would look up to. And the Bible does say he was a man after God's own heart. Even in his situations that he had with his sons and daughters and their not following the path that he would have liked for them to follow, he still found strength in God. Even if he fell and committed sin, he always came back and confessed him. Drive out the enemy. The devil is behind much of the adverse situations that we experience. He is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. He wants to hinder God's plan for our life. As we give praise to God where it belongs, this drives off the enemy. Please God, it delights God's heart to see his child praising him in difficult circumstances, for this is showing our abiding trust and reliance on him. Praising God in difficult situations demonstrates our faith in God, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Receive Jesus' gift of peace. Jesus gave his disciples the assurance just before he was crucified. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Don't let your heart be fearful, neither let it be afraid. This promise is for us today, so receive his gift of peace and give him praise for it. Then Jesus' peace will surround you, and the fear you or I are experiencing will disappear. Call to remember specific things he has done in your life and start thanking him. Think of who he is, his divine qualities, and start praising him. Let praise and thanksgiving from our heart. Let praise and thanksgiving from our heart, for God is good. And many times I find myself in a situation I seem to get depressed, and instead of thinking back of God, what God has done for me and what prayers he has answered for me, even though they're very small. Number 7, nurture your spirit, soul, and body. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. As we pass through adverse circumstances, especially for prolonged periods, your spirit, soul, and body can be affected. Our spirit is the core of our being, and so the precious 6 steps focused on building spiritually, there are other important aspects of life that we must pay attention to as we pass through hard times. When we pursue life balance, we need to nurture all aspects of our life, including the spiritual, social, emotional, and physical domains. They are all interrelated. So may we take steps to take care of our physical health. When we are in hard times, it's easy to get depressed and think of ourselves as being inadequate. Socially, building strong connections is essential. We need healthy, nurturing relationships with our family and church. Helps us to connect with other believers and grow in our faith and experience a sense of belonging. We also get opportunities to reach out to others. And right there, I want to say is something that has that helps when you have a church body around you. You have people that encourage you and come beside you and ask you, what do you need? How are you doing? And just keep building you up spiritually. An important way to start is to respond to our Father's invitation to cast all our anxieties and worries upon him, for he cares for us. And too many times I'm all this, but I'm in this all by myself, and it's too small of a thing to give to God and let him help me through it. I can work through this myself. Change our self-talk, internal conversations to positive, self-enhancing ones that are in line with God's promises in his words. With our faith at the center of our pursuit of life balance, we are more flexible to adapt to challenging situations. We will experience God's peace and spiritual and personal growth as we pass through tough times. This leads to balance in the aspects of our life in differing seasons. And in closing, I want to leave a question with you is, what steps will you or I take to bring balance in our lives as we pass through adverse situations? And that has very much encouraged me as I studied that and looked at that, and it has made to where, what am I doing to have God in my life and get him to help me through my situations instead of trying to work through them on my own. If you can stand, and then I have a song that's going to play after I pray, and then you can be dismissed. God, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for a beautiful day that we can enjoy. We also thank you for your promises to us that we can hold on to in hard situations that we go through. And also thank you for a church family that you would bless them and keep your hedge of protection around us as everything outside seems to be in a turmoil and chaos. I just pray that you would bless everybody as they go through this week and guide and direct them. Pray in your name. Amen.
You turn the key and close the door behind you. Drop your bags on the floor. You reach for the light, but there's darkness deep inside, and you can't take it anymore. Cause sometimes the living takes the life out of you, and sometimes the living is all you can do. We're barely young and then we're old. But every falling tear is always understood. Life is hard, but God is good. You try to pray, but there's nothing left to say. So you just quietly kneel. In the silence of all that you face, God will give you His mercy and grace. Jesus never said it was an easy road to travel. He only said that you would never be alone. When your last thread of hope begins to come unravel, don't give up. He'll walk beside you on this journey home. He knows life is hard, the world is cold, we're barely young and then. But every falling tear is always understood. Life is hard. God is good.